this many people here today. The weather was very, very cold last night, as we all know. The wind wasn't blowing as much. Maybe the chill factor wasn't as bad as it could have been. But we're glad that you're here. And my wife, I don't know if you knew it last week or not, but she was sick. She's still sick, and now she's passed it on to me. Ronnie Grove said this morning that he doesn't get sick, and I'm so glad for him. But I wish whatever he has from his immune system doesn't get him sick to pass it on to my wife and I. It seemed like we're picking up every little bug that's out here today. Lord willing, I'm going to have a minor operation on my eye this coming Friday, but I have congestion. They said if I don't have fever, if I don't cough, I can do it, but every once in a while I get a cough inject. So I'm not sure how that's all going to work out. So please pray for me on that situation. Just briefly, the eye is so complicated that we all know. Our whole bodies are complicated. God made us, you know. But on my right eye, I have a scarred membrane that's overtopped my macula, and now it's starting to affect my right vision. And so you just absolutely go in there through the eyeball and take off this membrane. Very simple operation. Of course, anytime you work with the eye or something like that, you could have infection, everything. But then he has to put an air bubble in there for a couple of days. It keeps it all put back together. So you have to keep your head down for 2 days. That'll be kind of a challenge. Some people get a gas bubble put in there for a week, and you have to keep your head down for a whole week. I mean, I don't like supposed to do that, but we'll try our best. So I appreciate your prayers for that. First of all, if I have the operation, and secondly, that it will be successful. That kind of gives us an update on that. So I shook hands with your arms instead of your hands today, so I'm not going to shake your hands today because I don't want to pass any germs on to you. So again, last week we talked about not looking back in a negative way. Today we're going to kind of go the other direction and look for guidelines for a successful year. And I think 2 Peter had a lot to say about that. But another nickname for this topic would be stick to the basics. Stick to the basics. I'm sure that if we would give all of you an opportunity to stand up and share something that you know about someone else that's a Christian that has not stuck to the basics, then they end up having major problems in their life. I too, sad to say, can give you stories of people who did not stick to the basics, and they drifted away from the Lord. And that's what 2 Peter was talking about there, that he doesn't want us to backslide. He wants us to stay close to him as humanly possible. And so this message today will be then giving you things that are basic. But if you stick to these guidelines, to these basic things, I think that you will continue to stay close to the Lord and glorify him. So again, simplistics, if you will, things that you already know, but some people just quit doing them for some reason. So the first one would be, let God talk to you. Let God talk to you. And how does he do that? Basically, by his word. I love Joshua 1:8. Let me read it to you. I could probably quote it, but it is a little long, and I don't want to mess it up. It says, and it's on your screen, here's what Joshua said. That's a good verse for all of us to memorize. Here's what Joshua said. The book of the law, this book of the law, meaning the Bible, the book of the law shall not depart from out of our mouth. In other words, it's going to be there. We're going to talk about it. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, there's a lot there. But basically, it's saying that God has given us his word. And he wants us to read it. He wants us to study it. He wants us to meditate upon it. He wants us then to apply it, just agree with what it says, and then to do it. It's really not that complicated, but a lot of people quit reading the Word of God. And Joshua is saying here that this is what you have to do to maintain your walk with the Lord. I'm not sure about the other translations or the paraphrases, but this is the only place in the King James Bible, which I still pretty much use to preach out of, even though I like many other translations, that it uses the word success. You want us to have success in your life? God says, read my word. Study it. Meditate on it. Follow it. Do what it says, both positively and negatively. And you will have prosperous life, and you will have good success. The word of God is complicated in many, many ways. But I tell many, many people, I tell myself, that just like you have to have physical food to maintain a physical body, and if you don't eat, you will get sick. And sometimes we get sick, we don't feel like eating, and we get weaker, we start losing weight. Well, you have to eat to maintain a healthy body. In the same way, you have to eat the Word of God, in a sense, to have a spiritual life that continues on. It's our spiritual food, it tells us in the Bible. It's our sincere milk of the Word. So continue to read it, to study it, to memorize it, to meditate upon it. And you will continue to have a basic that is necessary for every Christian. Number two, the second basic idea that we have to have, or the basic thing that we have to do, second guideline, is to talk to God. To talk to God by prayer, by communication. Psalm 55:17 says, evening and morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Let me read verse 16 before that, as it says, I will call upon God and the Lord. And again it says, evening and morning, at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. First Thessalonians 5:18, one of the shortest verses in the Bible. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Right before that it says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And you say, well, I don't pray continuously every day. It doesn't mean that. It just means continue in your prayers on a regular basis. Whenever it hits you, have times of devotion where you get alone with the Lord. You know, we think of our Lord Jesus while he was here on the earth. Often he would separate himself from his disciples, get up early in the morning and go out in a solitary place, have communion with his Father. Sometimes he would do that all night, the Bible tells us. And so if the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, had a necessity to commune with his Father in heaven, how much more do we need to do the same thing as fallen creatures, which he was not? And so he says, talk to me on a continuous basis. There's many things that people come up with on ways that we can pray. And there's different parts of prayer that are necessary. It wasn't original with me. I have adopted it. But I like using your hands as things to remind you, things to pray for. You don't maybe do this every time, but they are really, really good overall. The first one, I'm not sure how to display this to you, but the first one is like hands dirty, you know. Hands dirty. What does that mean? Well, when you become a Christian, God promises to forgive you of your sins, past, present, and future. When you think about it, he died for us 2,000 years ago. And so now in time, whenever you became a Christian, hopefully you are, he actually died for all of your future sins. It was 2,000 years ago he died for you. But when we believe in the Bible, very clearly teaches that when you receive him as Lord and Savior, he forgives you of all of your sins. The penalty of your sin is gone. Wow, what a precious thing. But we find through the Bible, we find through experience that we still have a problem with sin. You know, some of the things that even come to our minds today after walking with the Lord for many years, you say, where in the world did that come from? What an ugly thought is that? What a sinful thought is that? So sometimes we say them things that are not proper. Sometimes we do things that are not godly. What do we do about that? Well, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John is a book to Christians. It's not a book to non-Christians. So what he's talking about there is fellowship with God. You don't come and get saved again to have your sins forgiven for the penalty of sin, but you come for confessing your sins for fellowship with God, removing sin, and you have power over sin. And that's an ongoing basis. You know, the older I get, the more I think, I just cannot wait to get rid of this body of sin. This dying body that continues to age and have problems. And we also have, even though we're forgiven of our sin, we have a problem with sin. I don't know if it discourages you, but it discourages me. But I keep on having problems with some of the same things over again. What do you do about that? Well, you come back with God and ask for forgiveness again. And so we come hands dirty. We come with confession to God. That's an important one. Man, you probably should, maybe you have to do that daily. I think I do. In fact, I do. It tells us in Hebrews that some of us have some problem with sins more than other problems with sin. We're all built differently. We all have different DNAs. We have different looks and everything. Even people that are perfect twins and so forth, they may look the same, but they have a different DNA. And so each of us are different, and we have a different hang-ups in our lives. And so God says, come back and just confess it to me and work on it and just continue to walk together. So that's very important. The second way we come to God is probably should become first in a sense. We come with hands full. We come with hands full with God. What's that about? Praise. Thanksgiving. Worship. We worship God this morning in our songs. We worship God in our prayers. And God, that's corporate worship. He wants you all to worship him also privately. Privately. And that's what hopefully you will do as we come to him with hands full, thanking him and praising him and giving him worship on a continual basis. You know, we're going to do that for all eternity future, folks. And so if we are, we better practice it now and do it now, because in a sense, that's what God wants us to do, maybe more than anything else, worship him. And then the one that we think of so often is hands empty. Hands empty. This is when we think about petition for each other. Petition for whoever, whatever. Intercession. I've been associated with several churches over the years of my Christian walk. And you go to Wednesday night or Thursday night prayer meeting. And this is what it's really normally about during prayer meeting night, is prayer requests for physical needs, spiritual needs, usually of other people and other organizations, other prayer needs. And that's good. That's good. And so God wants us to come with hands empty to worship, not to worship him, but to ask for things. But don't forget the other two. In fact, the time of hands full are probably more important than coming with hands empty. And sometimes that's forgotten during our prayer meeting night. And so God says, come to me and pray. And sometimes people forget to do that, don't they? I've used this illustration many times. I don't know exactly where I got it from. I think I got it from myself. But, you know, here's God, here's you, and we get a fellowship with God, and we get saved. And he promises to wash you of your sins forever, which he did. But then what happens? We drift away. We drift back and forth, don't we? And so he's confessed and get back in fellowship. See, here's what happens in my mind as I look at it. And I counsel people. People drift away, and they keep on drifting away. And pretty soon they get way out here away from God. And then something happens to them sometimes. The same verses of Scripture that touched their heart before, now it doesn't work like it used to. They kind of harden their hearts, even as Christians. And so I tell people, I tell myself, don't get too far away from God. Stick to the basics. Don't get way out here. I can give you example after example of people that I've been dealt with over the years. You wouldn't believe the stuff that they did as Christians. Ruin their lives. So don't get way out here. Stay close to God. Come back to him. Read his word. Pray. Talk to God through prayer. The third thing is, again, these are things, well, I know all this, preacher, but let's keep on doing them, and you'll be fine. The third thing, third basic or third guideline, is attend church regularly. Attend church regularly. It tells us in Luke 24. Well, I'm not going to turn to that one. That's where they, that just says, I'll tell you what it says. The first day of the week, they came and trying to move the stone, and then we're going to anoint Jesus. And of course, the stone was already moved away. The point here, they came the first day of the week, which is Sunday, the Lord's Day. And then we find in Acts 20, verse 7, I think Bonnie's going to put this up for you. Here's what it says. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Wow, he was a long preacher, wasn't he? But the point is, Sunday is when he was going to remove the stone away, and he resurrected. And that's when the day of worship changed from Sabbath on Saturday for the Jewish people, now the church on Sunday. You say, what do we worship on Sunday? That's when he resurrected. That's when the early church, when he says, gather together for bread, that wasn't for eating, that was for this. It was for communion. That's what they were doing. And then it says in 1 Corinthians 16:2, says this, that upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay up in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. What's that talking about? That's what John and the other men took, the offering. First day of the week, they came and gave their offerings to God. And so it's very clear in the scriptures that the first day of the week is when God wants the church to worship him. That's why we're here today. And here, I love this verse in Hebrews 10:25, which talks about the same thing. You've heard this verse many times. God tells us in the scriptures, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So God says, keep on coming to the local assembly. But some have drifted away. Some have quit going to a local assembly. I ran into them all the time. I said, why did you quit church? Well, and then they start giving you reasons. I said, well, you know, I try to be kind and loving as much as I could. Well, who are you going to call when you have a death in the family? Because they said, well, I'm watching somebody on TV. Who's going to minister to you when you have a real need in your family? How often do you take communion as God commands you to? There's a lot of people that are home today, not because of the weather. They're home today because they quit going to church. And that's very, very, very sad. This is an old saying that I got from someplace. I think it's really, really good. A young Christian packing his bag for a journey said to a friend, I have nearly finished packing all that are here. And here's what he said, a guidebook, a lamp, a mirror, a microscope, a telescope, a volume of fine poetry, a few biographies, a package of old letters, a book of songs, a sword, a hammer, and a set of tools. But you cannot put all these into your bag, objected the friend. Oh, yes, said the Christian. Here it is. And he placed the Bible in the corner of a suitcase and closed the lid. Now, as I got halfway through that, I realized I was supposed to read that in the last point. His Bible. That was reading the Word of God. But, beloved, it applies to church also. Because what do we do? Hopefully, when you come to church, you bring your Bibles. We put the verses up on the screen. You come to Sunday school, and you read the Word of God. And coming to church is so very important. Let me read to you from John MacArthur, which is really, really good. I just found this a couple of months ago, maybe a little bit more than that. Here's what he says. He says, I love church and have joyously given my life to it. He's the pastor out in California. His title of his radio program is Grace to You. I forget the name of his church. He's been there for years and years, 50, 55 years, maybe longer. He said, it is the one institution the Lord built and promised to bless. And whatever misrepresentations there are in the world about the church, and whatever weakness exists within the true body, that does not diminish the Savior's commitment to his bride, nor does it derail his promises. There's no plan B. There are no substitutes. Yeah, we have lots of problems with the local church down through the years, but still, it's what God wants us to work through. And here's what he said. I love this. By God's design, the church is the center of every believer's spiritual life. It is where we steady, feed, grow, train, correct, comfort, partake in the ordinances, and ministry to one another. The church was given for our protection, instruction, discipline, and equipping. It is the lighthouse, it's the greenhouse, the hospital, and the classroom. It is not an optional path among many. It is merely an aid to our spiritual life. It is central. And sad to say, some Christians forget that. And they're way out here. And you try to counsel them, and they don't see it. So, beloved, keep on coming to church. Now, sometimes it gets to a point because of old age and so forth when you can't come to church anymore. We understand that. We're talking about people that can come. And so, beloved, keep on attending church and doing all the things that I just read to you. I counsel people and I run into people all the time, like I say, and I can tell the people that don't go to church, there's a difference. There's a difference in their testimony. There's a difference in their tone. There's a difference in their eyes. And so keep on coming to church like you are, because it's really a basic thing and a great guideline for 2018. Fourth guideline, fourth basic, if you will, and some of these are overlapping, I understand. And of course, this is not exhaustive. These five guidelines I'm giving you, they're not exhaustive. There's many more. But if you do these five things on a regular basis, I think you'll have a good 2018. I really do. The fourth one is love God and love man in that order. Love God and love man in that order. This is found in Mark chapter 12, verses 28 and onward. This portion of scripture just really kind of gets my attention. In my vernacular, it just blows me away. It really does. Jesus was here on the earth, and he was talking and teaching and doing his miracles, and they were always trying to trip him up. Always trying to trip him up, give him trick questions. And this one of the scribes came and said, "Well, which is the most important commandment?" In the Old Testament, beloved, there's 613 commandments that the Jewish people are supposed to follow. And you start reading those out of the book of Leviticus and so forth. They said some of these things are really, really tough. And now, praise be to God, those are, in a sense, gone away today. I think we're supposed to keep the moral law that you find there today through the power of the Holy Spirit. But here's how Jesus answered to this scribe. He says the first, he didn't duck it. Here's what he said. He said the first of all the commandments is hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. You know, in my 50 years of walking with the Lord, I've never heard a preacher preach on that verse. And I'm sure some of them had. I think Pastor Daniel is really great in getting what the scriptures are teaching and how to preach through the scriptures. He's going through the book of Colossians. I'm not sure if he's done yet with that or not. I'm a good copycat. I'll be honest with you. You know, I listen to other preachers or read other preachers, and when they get to the depth of the verse, I say, well, why dig any deeper? They got it, man. I can tell they got it. So I kind of grab on some of their stuff that they teach or like that. I've never heard anybody tear this apart. What does all that mean? How do we love God with all our soul? How's that different from our mind? Where's the strength come in? In our heart, some of those are overlapping. I don't know what they all mean necessarily. All I know is God says, love me with all that you have. And then second, namely like this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And there's just no other commandments greater than these. And he says over in Matthew, Jesus said this. This is the part that blows me away. He says, on these two hang all the law and all the prophets. All those 613 commandments in the Old Testament are trying to get you to do what these two verses say. Love me with all that you have, and love your neighbor the same way. Whew. That's powerful stuff. So God says we are to love him. I got this from MacArthur many years ago, and it fits in here, so I used it. first four commandments basically says we're going to love God. Now, some say the first five, mostly the first four. You can divide it how you want. But it seems to say that the first four of the Ten Commandments seem to focus in on loving God. They do. And then the last five through ten seem to focus in on loving man. And so God is teaching us that this is what he wants us to do in the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is a statement that I think is very, very true. God is more concerned on what we do with him than rather we do for him. Sometimes it's easy to get those two mixed up. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? I mean that sometimes we get so focused in on the things that God wants us to do, all the commandments, and all the things that we see in the Word, both positive and negative, like, we forget about him. It's almost on the edge of being legalistic, you know what I mean? Some people say, oh, I'm going to do this, in this way. And they forget that the reason we obey the commandments is because we love him. We don't do it because we have to. We do it because we love him and what he did for us on the cross. Appreciation. Love for him. And then he says, love your neighbor as yourself. Mark Arthur said this. I'm not sure if you agree with that, but it's pretty. You see, my Christianity has to be simplistic. Mine too. I have a brain that seems focused towards simplistics. But here's what MacArthur said about this. He says, rule for living, they make it simple for you, stick to the basics. He says, love God, love man. If you do that, then after that, do what you want. You say, wait a minute, I'm not sure if I understand it. Soak it in. Take it home with you today. Think about it. How is God wants you to live your life? Love him. With all that you have, love your neighbors, yourself, and if you really, really do that, then after that, you can do what you want. Chew on. We'll talk about it some other time. The last guideline is then, I think, important. God wants us to talk for him. God wants us to talk for him. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. And I know I've talked to you about this many times over the last couple of years, but God wants us to be a mouthpiece for him. Why? I don't know. He could write it in the heavens. He could do it in so many other miraculous ways to reach out the world. But he's given you and me the responsibility and the opportunity to be his mouthpiece. And the question is, are we doing it? We don't do a very good job, but I don't think. I'm a preacher. I struggle with it. I don't have the gift of evangelism like some people do. But God is asking a whole church. If you're saved, he's asking you to represent him. Now, we do that, of course, mostly with our life. But he also wants us to get it out there with the scriptures, the tracts, with your lips, other ways besides your life. Because he clearly says that in 2 Corinthians 5:19. Let me read it for you. It says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. In other words, he hits the world to become friends with him. That can only happen through the cross and through ourselves, throwing ourselves upon his mercy and ask for forgiveness. And he doesn't want to pew and trespasses unto them and has committed. He has committed to us. Here's what it is. Here's a challenge. God has committed to us, the church, the word of reconciliation. He wants you to take that message and pass it on to your people who come in contact with. Your relatives, your friends, your co-workers, your associates, strangers sometimes. And sad to say, I don't know why, but the church does not do a very good job at that. As I said, we do it with our lips and then also with our life. Read here 1 Timothy 4:12. Paul was talking to young Timothy, and this is a good verse for all of us. Of course, if you try to do it with your lips and not your life, then that's really a stupid thing to do. It'd be hypocritical. You got to have a good testimony. Then you pass it on with your lips or tracts. Here's what he says. Be thou an example of the believers in your talk, your conduct, your love, your attitude, your trust in God, your holiness. So yes, we have to have a testimony with your Christian walk if you claim those things, but then God wants us to somehow, some way get that message out there. That's what missionaries are about. That's why we're sending missionaries, many churches all over the world. I don't understand this either, brother, but we know from the scriptures in Romans chapter 1 that mankind individually knows that there's a God because of his handiwork, the handiwork of the earth and the handiwork of the heavens. They're sending out a new telescope this year. Madison, James Madison, I think is the name of him. It's going to be put up in the fall, going out, it's going to orbit around the sun. It's so big that when it gets up there, it's all supposed to unfold like a transformer. And if they have trouble with it, ain't nobody going to go and fix it because it's going around the sun. The Hubble went around the earth. They had trouble with that. He was able to fix it. And now the Hubble has seen to the end of the universe. It can't see no more. And all they see is more universe. It seems to be infinite. And now they've made a new one that's going up this fall, and they want to see further than the Hubble. We'll see what that happens on that whole thing. And the point is that mankind, as they come to the awareness of life and sin, whatever that is for a child or a person, they know that there's a God because of his handiwork in the earth and the handiwork. Intuitively, they know there's a creator. But here's the sad part. Does not give them the message of salvation. They have to have the message of salvation given to us in the Word of God. And that's what he's calling the church to do, to share the gospel with the whole world. That's what he's commanded us to do. How are we doing it? Beloved, five guidelines, five basics. Let God's Word. You talk to God through prayer. Attend church regularly. Love God, love man. And then talk for God. If you do those things consistently this year, you'll have a prosperous and successful year. You'll glorify your Lord, and you will feel good about yourself. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for these simplistic guidelines. We know they're not exhaustive, Lord, but they're the basics. We pray that you help us individually and collectively to glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is a good time now to, of course, lead us into, because do we do these things perfectly? No. We have to come back to the Lord on a regular basis for confession? Absolutely. And so to me, this doing remembrance of him, that's the main reason. God knows we're forgetful people. So he says, I'm going to put something out there that they'll never be able to forget what they did for him. So it's a wonderful, wonderful reminder about the bread. The cracker represents his body. The juice represents his blood. And when we get to heaven, will we do this? Probably not. Because remember, we'll see the effects on his wrists, on his ankles, that side. Somehow, some way, those reminders will be there for eternity future. But until then, he says, I want you to come back and thank me for what I did for you. And then secondly, it's a time of self-analyzation, self-judgment between you and God. I'm not looking at you. I'm looking at my own self. God wants you to look at yourself as a Christian and see if there's anything between me and between him and you. And if you find something there, through the Holy Spirit in your conscience, confess it. He wants you to partake. He wants to have fellowship with you. Make sure there's nothing between you and him. I'm going to ask you guys to come at this time to prepare for communion.
Hold the elements.